This show is brought to you by Onnit.com. Go to Onnit.com and use code word church to get 10% off of all of their great optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, ShroomTech Immune, ShroomTech Sport. And if you're in Austin, they just started selling Onnit products in Whole Foods, so go check that out. But for everyone else, go to Onnit.com and use code word church to get 10% off. This show is also brought to you by NatureBox. NatureBox ships great-tasting, healthy snacks right to your door. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with healthy and delicious treats like dark cocoa almonds. Support this podcast by ordering a free NatureBox sampler box at naturebox.com/Joey. That's right, free NatureBox snacks are found at naturebox.com/Joey. Show is also brought to you by MeUndies.com. Go to MeUndies.com and check out the pictures they have of the men's and women's underwear. They have hot-looking boy shorts, they have t-shirts, they have socks, everything you want to wear. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey, and you're going to get 20% off of your first order. I know, it's 6,000 milligrams. That's crazy. You're going to get 20% off of your first order, and you're also going to get free shipping in the United States and Canada. And go to IronDragonTV.com. IronDragon TV is a brand new Roku channel. Has all of your favorite martial arts movies. Also has 4K technology, Onnit Lab videos, everything you're going to watch. Go to irondragontv.com, use code word Joey to get 2 free rentals.
Oh shit. Justin, you thought it was safe. Kicking off the weekend. The church of what's happening now. Joey Diaz, Lee Syatt, and my main man Steve Bauer. Oh shit. Kick this motherfucker, Lee. Kick it. Fucking nuts. If your dick's not getting hard right now, jump off the fucking bridge. Listen to this shit. What? Oh shit. It's Friday, the 20th of the month, and you're still sitting around. Lee Syatt got a star on him. I got 4 stars in me.
No, you don't.
Friday. Yes, I do. Right after jiu-jitsu. Fuck it. What's going on, brother? Where the hell you been?
I've been here. Where have you been?
You know me. Trying to put the pieces together every day. Trying to do something new, something exciting. Thank you for switching on today, 1 o'clock Friday. My main man in the house, Stephen Bauer. What's happening, beautiful?
California honey. That's what's happening.
California honey. It kills the fucking pollen. They eat the pollen. So that'll take down the allergies a little bit. I'm not a big California guy, but what I do is I put it on a dish. And when I'm going to ofrecer la calidad de cobre, I taste it because she got poisoned one time.
Oh, yeah.
So before you offer la calidad de cobre, honey, you always have to taste it
you
in front of her.
Yeah.
So she sees you're not poisoned. And that little thing on Mondays takes care of my allergies for the week.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And I'm not a big honey guy, but you got to do what you got to do.
I'm not a big honey guy.
Not in tea or nothing like that?
Yeah. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Yeah, my girlfriend... she is a big proponent of honey. She's done a lot of research, and so we go to farmers markets and we find different types of honey. I went to one in Culver City, you know, where the Cubans live. Culver City Farmers Market, and this guy had like all kinds of wild honey, like, and it was California honey. And we picked up some different pieces, like, of, and they all have different flavors. To me, it all tastes like honey.
It all tastes like honey. The texture of honey is the texture of honey.
The texture of honey is the texture. It's sweet, you know what I mean? And I'm a salt guy. So, I have to work a little to get there. But, I'm not resisting. I'm not resisting, especially since my eyes are all messed up because of the... you know, the cats and the allergens, you know, the cat, the pet dander.
The danders will
get
you.
Yeah, well, we got two big Bengal cats thinking that they were hypoallergenic because she and I are both pretty allergic to cats. But we love the animals, you know, and they're very, very freaking cute. You know, but you know, some days you just got to keep them in the other room, or else you're just—it's a sneeze fest, you know. And I'm crying, you know, and it's not even a sad movie.
Hey, you want to solve that?
Yeah.
You ready? You put collars on them? And you...
Collars?
Collars. And you take them outside and you hold them by the collar and you brush them.
Oh,
and you get don't get the brush as much as the whisk. It's like a whisk with little sharp teeth.
So you're a cat person.
Yeah, I love my cats. And you pet them with that, and that takes that heavy dander off them. And then you brush them. And you know what? You're outside in the sun. They like the sun.
They love the fucking balcony.
They
man.
Love the balcony. The balcony is their life. Sometimes I let them out on the balcony, and I sit there, and they breathe, and they get in the sun. The thing is, they get a whiff of other fucking cats. Then they go in the house, and there's
I'm on the fifth floor.
Okay, so you're good.
So they ain't smelling shit.
No, so it's tremendous.
All they're doing is looking down at you know, Tohunga.
It's great. Have them, and you brush them with their whisk. And then you brush them with the regular brush, and your allergies will come full effect. But at least you're outside, and you're breathing them. And you know what? It's like flogging. It's like I go to jiu-jitsu, and I can't breathe on the bottom. So now when I go to jiu-jitsu, I force myself to get people on top of me. And 2 years later, now I last 2 minutes on the bottom.
Wow.
Because I forced myself to go through that anxiety.
Wow. But you're not getting penetrated or anything. Right?
No. Nobody's penetrating here, dog. This ass is too. This leg weighs 80 pounds. You got to pick this fucking hoof up. And that 150-year-old cheek, that weighs another 22 pounds. You got to hold me down and pick up that cheek. It's never going to happen.
I'm working on mine too, because, you know, I got a young girlfriend and she's like, come on, we got to get that butt back up, you know? It's tiny, you know. It's like really small. Like I used to have a Cuban ass, but now I got like kind of a white boy ass.
No, you got older. That's it. Yeah. The ass drags. You're not doing squats anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You got handsomer and shit. You know.
Yeah, I know. But I'm going. Yeah, I moved to a building where a floor where the gym is 40 feet away. So I have no excuse, Joey. I have no excuse. I could walk out my door and stumble into the gym, you know, and then the pool is on the same deck. Like the pool is 70 feet away. The gym is 40. So there's no fucking reason why I'm not exercising every day. But, you know, life is life and you have other stuff to deal with.
It's 20 minutes of your day. It's funny because you just got off the phone with your mother. Your mother left you a message.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's got to be kicking 75 right now?
77.
Okay, 77. Your dad?
My dad just went into the next world.
I'm sorry.
Bless his heart. Yeah, we were there in December. He passed on Jim Morrison's birthday.
What was his age?
82.
So let's face it, you have good fucking blood.
Yeah.
You're going to be around for a while. Help it a little bit.
I'm much stronger.
10 push-ups, 10 sit-ups.
Listen.
A little bit on the threat. I'm 52 and I'm 100 pounds overweight. Yesterday I went to jiu-jitsu. I didn't feel like I sweat enough. So I have two kettlebells in the car because I'm like you. I'm Cuban. It's in our genes. You know what? Some days, bro, I want to work out like a motherfucker, but I don't want four walls around me. So I go to North Hollywood Park, and I go by a tree, and I bring water, and you go to fucking Five Guys by Laurel Canyon. Tomorrow when you go to the farmer's market on Sunday, and you go to Laurel Canyon, there's a sporting goods. Go in there and tell them I want a
Five Guys. Yeah,
16 kilo. No. Tell them I want
No, not kilos.
Tell them you want a 12-kilo kettlebell. It's 24 pounds.
Oh, yeah, and you carry it?
Mira, compadre, you go to that little North Hollywood Park at 10 o'clock, I'm solito. For yourself. This isn't for nobody. This is what people understand. This is for you. The phone stays in the car. Everything stays in the car. It's 20 minutes for Stephen Bauer. You go to North Hollywood Park under a tree, because this is what your family did 200 years ago on that fucking island.
Yeah.
There was no Jewish thing. There was Gold Gym and fucking patatas. No, you outside. They're on Tyson. Remember when fucking... what's the guy on TV that goes to different places?
Anthony Bourdain.
The second time he went there. No, not Anthony. Was it Anthony? The first time he went and they showed him a Cuban dude that bent metal outside. And no. And you could hear the guy saying, Mira lo taque mao. Because he thought he was a Cuban Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
And he would burn metal and he would stick nails. I like working out outside.
Yeah.
It's my natural habit. If I go to a gym and I don't see a window... Well, we're not going to last in that gym.
I like to play tennis. I play racquetball.
So, you're right there.
I throw the football.
Yeah.
I love to hit baseballs and softballs and field and throw the ball and shit. It's just you have to get in the groove. You've got to start it and then get in the groove. Or else you're home fucking around.
But I do it from my mind. I tell them, I don't do it from my body. I do it from my mind. And you know, over at North Hollywood Park, they have a little area with machines that you can do pull-ups.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And sure. Sit-ups and bicycle. Yeah. It's fucking amazing. All body weight exercise.
Listen, I'm two blocks. No, I'm one block. I can see the park from the Magnolia Park.
Yeah, right there.
Magnolia. Yeah, right there where they have the courts.
Right.
Painted them blue.
That's the one right there.
And they have a sand lot. They have a few backstops.
Baseball fields there. Yeah. There's a kid park there. I take it's my kids awesome. There.
They actually have a pool, but I don't know about that pool.
Do they have a pool there? Yes.
Yes, they have a plunge.
I take the baby there. It's fucking cold as shit.
It is.
Oh, my fucking God.
You got to wait till July.
Yeah, but the Pasadena one is very nice. But you got to pull in the building.
Yeah, I got to pull in the building.
Well, the Pasadena one has the USC.
Oh, really?
Where the football.
The Olympic?
I don't want to be around no football players.
No. But they have swimming programs. They have swimming programs in the morning that civilians go up there and they swim. They have running programs. But you got to remember, you got to deal with the fucking 134. At 6 in the morning, and that's why I haven't gotten involved with it, because that's that binga. You got to get on that 134 at 8 in the morning, so I know people who do it, though.
Frankly, Joey, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that from the time that I've moved into the building, which overlooks the park, I have not been to the park. I'm embarrassed. Embarrassing.
They sell coffee? Are they sell cafecito across the street from the park? You could walk over there. There's a new lady who makes cake pops and little coffees there.
Really?
That's a new neighborhood. They're really trying to build it up. Yeah, but that North Hollywood Park, Lee, how many times have I told you? When I can't feel it.
The post office is right there.
Post office. When I want to write comedy and I can't feel it, I take my car. I take the 20. I have two 35-pound kettlebells.
And
I take a water. And I carry them. I walk around with the weights and I put them down when I get tired.
Right,
you buy yourself an 8-pound ball, just a ball, and you do push-ups against the tree.
Yes, true.
Your shirt gets dirty. And you know what? The whole thing? People pay thousands of dollars to get a suntan.
That's right. You get
the best suntan in the world because you're sweating and the sun's burning your natural oil off you. You're there for 20 minutes. You go home. You're like, what the fuck? Where was I? In Jamaica? And there's a tree. So you sit next to the tree. The tree is where you do the sit-ups. You hold your legs up to the tree. I make a line and I throw the kettlebell there and I start swinging. There's somebody right now that's saying, I saw him Sunday. Sunday, I got off a plane in Sacramento. I only did cardio all weekend. I said, you know what? I want to get my heart pumping. I got in the car. The baby fell asleep. I went under North Hollywood. I went under a tree. I took a water. I took the 8-pound ball. I went under a tree. I did.
In Sacramento?
No, right there, right?
Oh,
when I came back from Sacramento.
I
took the 35-pounder. I did squats with the kettlebell in front. I did 5 sets of 15.
How old is your baby?
2 years old, bro. I'm 51, so please, we both have issues.
Wow.
And then I did 5 sets of 12 to 15 swings. That almost gave me a heart attack. And then I did 3 sets of cleans where you pick them up, bah, and you put them back, bah. I did 3 sets of 20 push-ups. It's 40 minutes, 35 minutes, and I burn 400 calories probably. I get in the car, and right around the corner, there's a gym, okay?
Oh, yeah?
Okay, listen to me, guys. If you go on Ventura, if you go on Lancashire, and you pass Magnolia, and you're headed towards Universal City.
Right.
There's a dance studio. You always see beautiful girls coming out of there. And next to the dance studio, there's a fucking gym.
Yeah, I know it. It's across the street from the movie theater.
Pull into that.
From NoHo 7.
Pull into that fucking parking lot. No. Down more.
Oh, further down.
You're passing Magnolia.
Oh, past Magnolia.
And there's a World Gym. Right? Oh, you're talking about 24-Hour Fitness. No.
No. Hey, it's across the street, right? It's like right across the street. It's like it looks like almost like a one-floor.
Right. It is a one-floor gym. Yeah. It's open till midnight. But back there, there's two Thai ladies. There's a Thai lady and her husband and her daughter and her son.
You get them to walk on your back?
No, bro. You go in there, you give them fucking $5, and you get a natural squeeze juice or a green tea with espresso. A little protein powder. No, la pinga, look at that. And chocolate syrup.
Really?
She makes protein powder milkshakes.
Wow.
She has green tea, dragon green tea that you drink it and you see the weight fall off you as it goes down. She says she lost 40 pounds drinking one cup of this dragon green tea.
Really?
It's like doing meth. It gets you going, but you don't feel it.
Wow.
You don't feel it. Your body's
just churning.
So she's got dragon green tea in there. This, bro. When I tell you, I wouldn't tell you. You're my brother.
You're going to give me the address.
No, right there in Lancashire World Gym. You go in the back.
World
the other day, as I was walking in, Cosby Kid was walking out. They all, a lot of people work out in there. The guy in the morning is very good for actors. But next to it, there's a little coffee shop behind the gym. It's open till fucking midnight. And they sell Thai salad. Like yesterday, I went in there, had to run out because they were making something with curry. I'm allergic to curry. I don't like smelling curry.
You told me I smelled like hummus the other night when I didn't smell like hummus.
It was getting me dizzy going down fucking Laurel Canyon. I can't eat hummus and get in the car. You know, because then you smell like people with beard. No. You had me all confused. I said to you, you've been eating hummus. You go, yeah.
No, yes. No.
And then you go, I ate some hummus. Then how do I fucking know
that you... what did you eat tonight for dinner? Which you ask me almost every night. And then I told you I had some hummus. You're like, oh, that's, you smell like hummus.
I smelled it. I took a shower right before. I smelled the garlic and the garbanzo beans.
There's no garlic in it.
But you got to be choosy with your hummus.
Yeah. Because
you can eat what the Israelis eat, which is cool.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can eat what they eat in the desert.
No, I only fuck with Israeli hummus.
No, he had some shit. This guy got sick. He got food poisoning. Sushi in Lower Canyon.
Okay.
Because he went on Yelp.
I did not get food poisoning. He gave me a strong fucking edible, and I puked. I don't blame it on the edible.
That's a giant edible, by the way. No, it's not even an edible. It looks like a fucking starfish.
6,000 milligrams. So we each eat half a wing, and we get fucked up for 13 hours.
I think I'll save it for my musician.
You could save it for your musician son. But
I had one of those once. I think I had one with him. I think I had one with him one night, and we were like writing music and composing, and suddenly it was like 5 a.m.
And very good for music. Very good for creative. But with coffee and a couple cigars or a cigarette, you're off and fucking running. Let me tell you what.
And happened. No smoke.
No smoke. Let me tell you what I got. Let me tell you what happened with me. I re-hooked up with my uncle in Glendale. He's 76 years old. When you touch my uncle, he's solid.
Wow,
76. He walks 5 miles a day at Griffith Park. Then he goes to his bar. His bar is on Western and Vermont. It's Jefferson all the way down there. He's the doorman on the weekends.
At
this fucking bar, the Mexican bar, where he sells to just illegal people. When they come over the border to drink and they got no green card, that's where they go. And they pay $7 a Heineken and $7 a Budweiser. My uncle's a rapist. But fucking they have like an old bowling alley. They turn into a dance hall. And he brings up bands from Mexico. Who do you think's rolling around the floor with them on the weekends? My uncle. My uncle hits the fucking bag. My uncle's had cancer for 10 years, and he's living because he eats organically, bro.
Wow.
So he was telling me about it. My mother had eight brothers and sisters. It was 9 all of them. There's only 2 of them that died. The rest of them all in their 80s and 90s.
The ones that ate normal.
The ones that stayed in Cuba and the ones that went to Venezuela.
Oh, yeah.
They live in Venezuela. They live like they're 80, and they go around. They ride bicycles. When I heard that, it inspired me. I'm trying to lose weight. I eat better. I don't eat bread. I don't eat. I'm eating whole grain pasta.
Yeah.
You try. You try.
Yeah.
Listen, we cannot eat un picadillo like we used to.
No,
you cannot.
That's definitely for sure. And the hardest thing for me, the challenge for me, is to not eat the food that looks good, because I already know that I do better with like no gluten. I do better, but I do make exceptions. My girlfriend, she's disciplined, so she's gonna, you know, she's gonna live forever. But the point is that I'm on it, and I've lost 20 pounds, not from exercise, just from eating better. Now I got to start exercising, work out, and like tone everything up. But I'm still, you know, I mean, I'm still strong. But
you said something interesting earlier that you have to. I forget how you worded it, but it was like, you have to start...
you got
to
get in the groove.
Get in the groove, exactly.
Yeah.
Or I didn't work out for the first 25 years of my life, but now, if I miss a day or two, it feels like I can feel it and I feel bad.
Right.
And Joey, even the workout you were talking about, you're 100 pounds overweight, but you've been working out for a while. Like, some people, I've been talking with this guy on Twitter, he just started working out, thinking about doing 40 minutes... is unimaginable. So even if you do 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it's 10. Better than doing nothing.
Last weekend I was in Sacramento. What I call you and say to you?
Do a push-up?
No, I told you the Sacramento story where the last time I was at that club, was the first time I ever got an elliptical machine. I was hitting the bag. I had the bicycle and I lift weights, and I had a guy at the YMCA that said, Joey, get on the elliptical machine. I go, it's not for me. And one day by myself, it's you know, when you're a fat dude, you have insecurities also.
Yeah, so there was the elliptical.
There was an elliptical and there was a treadmill.
Yeah.
And it was by myself, and that's all they have at this gym in Sacramento.
Wow.
And I got on the elliptical and I did 7 minutes. And I was scared, like I thought my heart was gonna blow up. But I went back the next day, I did 9, and I went back the third day, I did 12. And ever since then, I've been the elliptical. Now this week, I went in and did 40 both days, like nothing.
Do you move stuff?
Yes, you move it. Absolutely.
That's the one that's like a ski.
It's a ski.
It's almost
and they
like
have programs that are fucking tremendous. The programs are where it's at.
But you have to be able to understand computers.
Right.
Yeah.
No. They had the fucking things right there. Walking, hiking.
Oh, okay.
You want to go to Bolivia and walk the mountains with Sosa. It has it right there. You press the button. It takes you up the hill. It monitors your heart rate. It monitors. I usually go sometimes, and I have a heart rate for the cell phone.
I do that.
I have a heart rate that John sent me.
The heart rate.
Yeah. So you have to watch all these things.
Can you get a little bit closer? We can't even...
You're burning calories.
Yeah.
And you're burning calories, but you're also getting your heart rate up for a few minutes a day, you know, and that's... It's called aerobic exercise. Yeah. My dad was really into that, but then, he got hurt. He got hurt playing paddle, you know, racquetball or squash. Or squash, as they call it in Miami.
Squash.
And then he couldn't work out, and you know, because he had that normal kind of diet, that normal Cuban diet, at 6 feet tall, he's still putting on a stomach like this, you know, he put on a big tummy, and it was impeding his breathing.
That's what it does to me. That's why I got to lose.
Yeah.
Every 10 pounds I lose, I feel I breathe better.
You breathe better,
Lee,
right?
Let me ask you something. What did you eat at the Cuban joint yesterday?
Oh my God!
What did you eat?
Which one? What place?
We went to Portos.
I went to Portos.
Portos, yeah.
We got it. Paul and her mom got Cuban sandwiches, but I had pan and steak, corned beef steak. Oh my God! And it was like marinated steak with like these crispy potato sticks on the bottom and
incredible.
Like this garlic.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
And lettuce and the tomato. When you bite into that motherfucker,
Oh my God!
I would eat that every day, except that now I don't eat white bread.
You can't eat white bread.
Oh, and the bread
and the Cuban
bread is incredible. It was soft.
So you ate the what? What did you have with it?
Nothing.
Just a Cuban sandwich.
I wanted, and that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. Yes, I shouldn't have had that sandwich. But I wanted to get croquetas.
But you didn't eat the flan. You did phenomenal.
Yeah.
Trust me, you did way better.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
Do me a favor. Go back to 19 when you got here from Cuba. Let the people at home know.
No, I got here at 3.
At 3, like I did.
Yeah.
But let the people know when you were 6, just so they don't think I'm lying to them. Break down a Cuban diet, and then I'll tell you my diet. What's for breakfast at your house?
For breakfast, at my house, we would have, you know, my mom, and we were poor, like poor. My dad was a pilot, and he was working freight, like cargo. And he was also working in Africa, like he was with missionary service. He wasn't getting paid shit. You know, he wasn't making money. He was with the CIA, except, you know. And he was trying to help, you know, help Africa not fall to communism. Basically, that's what he was doing. He's one of those Cuban pilots. And he couldn't get hired by the airline because he didn't have a college education. Or American military training. So he's like, he could be the greatest pilot in the United States, but he couldn't get hired by Pan American.
But even pilots on airlines don't make much money, I've heard.
No, but they did eventually. Eventually they got there.
Oh, okay.
But let me tell you, he'd come home with nothing, and he'd be gone for 3 weeks or 4 weeks. So my dad was the stranger, the big guy that would come home all fucking mad at the world. I didn't really like him. You know, I grew to love him. But he was always pissed off. And my mom was existing, we were existing, my little brother and myself, on a public school education salary. Public school educator salary, which in those days was whatever they made, you know, a year, you know. $11,000 a year, you know. I mean, nothing. They were making $1,000 a month or something. Maybe.
This is in Miami.
In Miami.
Where were you living in Miami?
In West Miami, in South Miami, Southwest Miami, Westchester.
I used to stay in
Coral Gables, Coral Park.
In the Falls.
You stayed in the Falls. That's further south.
That's further south.
And it's nicer than where I lived. I lived in the suburbs, which was near where they built the university, FIU, which is now a great, great university. But eventually, I was able to go to the University of Miami also on a student loan, okay? You know, because I was ethnic, because I had a, I was from Cuban background. So somebody helped me apply for this Cuban loan. This loan, which I eventually had to pay back once I came out to Hollywood, I had to pay them back eventually. And but my mom would somehow put together a diet that had meat and eggs and potatoes and plantains. So we would have breakfast that was like eggs and bacon and you know, like all kinds of stuff. The only problem with my diet was that my mom didn't introduce us to vegetables because we didn't like them, and my mom wasn't about to like be like the strict enforcer. She was a kid herself. She was, you know, 22 years old, and my brother and I were, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years old, and she was going to school. She got her education at Dade South, at Dade Community College, and then she went to the University of Miami, and she graduated with honors. But that didn't help her fucking teacher's pay. That didn't help her make any more money. And so we always were just surviving. And we'd look at other kids who'd have like everything, and we'd be like, fuck. And even my dad, at one point in the 70s, when his pilot friends started taking jobs, underground jobs, to fly a plane from here to Colombia, pick something up and come back from Colombia, and make $50,000. And my dad had never, ever seen $50,000, you know? But his friends were getting rich, and he'd say, like, I can't do it. I can't do it because if I get pinched, if I go to jail, you guys grow up like fucking orphans, you know? It's better to be poor. So he never took that chance. And I swear to God, at least 10 of his friends got rich in the cocaine trade in Miami, and he didn't. He stayed that guy. You know, and so I always was a little bit like resentful, like, fuck, Dad, just one time, you know. But he's, you know, for what it's worth, he, you know, he kept his integrity, he didn't bend in that area. And we made do, you know. I had jobs in high school and after high school and college. And then I went into the theater, and then I started getting, and then I got Que Pasa USA. So I started making a living. And being able to like turn money over to my parents.
Do you think being less well off helped you as an adult? Because I grew up in a rich town, but I was not poor, but not anywhere near that. And I see some of my friends who I grew up with who were super wealthy, like the wealthiest of the wealthy, and they can't get jobs and all that stuff. And so do you think that might have...
Well, there's something to be said about creating a work or being instilled... By your parents, by the people that raise you, a work ethic,
right,
and an understanding of money and of what it is to not have money, and what it is to earn money, you know, in order to live comfortably, not to be fucking rich, but to live comfortably. And I'm saying this as someone who I believe, you know, it's like if you can be rich, fucking go for it,
right?
You know what I mean? And I, all I know is that with the money I've made making movies and television, I live not like an asshole. You know, I don't buy Ferraris, and I've never had a Ferrari, you know, which doesn't make it. I'm not saying guys who do that are not assholes, but I'm just saying I'm not that way. I just like to be able to take my girl or take my mom or take my brother out and have and pay for dinner or take my girl to the mall and buy, you know, $1,000 worth of fucking cool shit, you know, for her.
Or
buy myself 3 pairs of really nice jeans, you know, and 2 nice shirts. But I've never bought a car. Never. Joey, never. I've never had that car, you know, and I've had the money, but I'm just not that guy because my dad wasn't, you know, and maybe it's a flaw.
I don't think so. My dream, you know, my entire dream is to make enough money where for average things, like dinner, I don't have to look at the price. Like
exactly.
There's nothing worse than looking at the price on the menu and, okay, I can get the $50 steak. I'll get the $20 chicken. That's not that bad, but my goal is to not have to do that.
Exactly.
I don't need a Ferrari. No. I'd like it, but that's my goal.
And I have friends, who are that rich, where they never let you pick up a check. You know, I like to pick up a check because I can now. But, you know, if you go out to dinner with, if you're one of eight people, you know, you and your woman, and you're one of like four or five couples, and your buddy is picking up the check always, never lets you like contribute or anything, you know, they're okay, you know, like they're doing better than you.
Once you make it without money for a long, like when I was 25 and 24, I was like any other 24-year-old, man.
Yeah.
I wanted a Ferrari, Testarossa.
Yeah.
I wanted to go to bars and snort blow and blow coke rocks up chicks' assholes. I wanted to do all that craziness. Then I came to the conclusion one day that it wasn't going to be me. I wasn't going to be that big drug dealer. I wasn't going to be that.
Right, and you weren't going to do prison time either.
And I did it. No, I ended up doing it. I tried to kidnap somebody and for coke. I tried to do Ntumbe.
Oh,
fucking, yeah. Oh, please. Oh,
wow.
Oh, yeah.
He left the voicemail.
What?
He left a voicemail.
Oh, I kidnapped the other day. Left a voicemail because I had him call to the podcast and I apologized to him.
You kidnapped him?
Ntumbe. That went bad, like, you know. That and machine gun. And No, it was not. We took him from one room to the other.
That's all.
So when Scarface, when they take Tony from the hotel
into the bathroom. Yeah.
That's kidnapping.
Oh, that's it.
That's kidnapping. Kidnapping is not I call your wife and say, I got Steven here. Give me $50,000. I'll stab him in the heart.
Okay.
That's what we thought. When I turned myself in and they told me that, I go, what are you talking about kidnapping? I didn't call nobody.
But
bringing somebody from one room, if I get you right here with a gun, I'll get in there against your will.
Yeah, that's true.
That's kidnapping. Yeah. So. That's what happened. And, you know, I was a young kid and whatever, bro. I was consumed. It was the 80s. And I had grown up around that.
I didn't. That's the only difference, is what you see when you're a little boy. What you see, as you become an adolescent, what you see. I saw shit. Joey, I was the biggest greenhorn. Like, I was the most naive little boy. And adolescent, too. I mean, as a teenager, I was fucking naive. I mean, I had this girl pull me under a bridge once and with a bunch of, like, hippies and make me smoke pot because I liked her. And I was like, wow. You know, I was like 15 or something, 14 or something. And that was the first time I even saw drugs, you know. And I didn't like it because I was scared to death, you know. But, I mean, I didn't go into that life. And there were kids in my high school, and I'm talking about 1972. You know, 1972 or 1970 or whatever. And it's the middle of the 60s. And they're already like Cuban kids in Miami who were like selling blow. Right after high school, in college or right after. And they were getting rich. And I was like, I was busy like with the rowing team and football and trying to get into some girls' pants. That's it.
When I went, I didn't grow up in Miami per se. But I went to Miami every summer growing up.
Oh.
My godfather lived on 130th and 100th in the Falls by Monkey Jungle.
Yeah, Monkey Jungle.
And he was a construction guy. So what he did is he'd go into an area and he'd start from scratch. He built all that in the 50s. Yeah. Yeah. So he'd knock it down from scratch. Then he'd build one house and he'd move in there and he'd build the other four. And then while he built the other four, him and his three kids lived in that house, and they had La Finca. Every time I went to Miami, they had a different house. But the biggest development they had was 130th Avenue. He was a baseball coach. We used to go to Red Barry's baseball camp. No, we did everything. Everything in the world you did as a kid in Miami. We would stay at his house for 2 weeks. Then the last week, my mother would get a room at the Newport or Hawaiian Isles.
Newport Beach.
He would come with the boat, and we'd swim out, and then we'd pull us on the boat, and then he'd get fishing, and he'd cook a fish for a kid from New York City. I don't have to tell you. My cousin's feet wouldn't burn. They could walk on the fucking concrete like nothing. In a 100-degree day, I would put my little pussy New York City feet on the... I couldn't walk to the beach and shit. They had to pick me up. I would get blisters. It was horrible. But on the other hand, he had grown up with my father. So his wife kind of knew, and his kids knew nothing. He had the house on 130th Avenue, and then at night, right after Mission Impossible on Channel 6 at 1 o'clock, right when they played the
Star Spangled Banner.
The Star Spangled, look at it, you know exactly. He would go, Coquito, ponte los tenis. And we'd go to La Vaquita, and he'd buy a little beer and a gallon of milk and eggs for breakfast in the morning. And then we'd go to a dock, and he'd get his boat, and we'd go out for a couple of miles.
Where?
This when we were kids, I forget.
No, but where? But where you this remember where the dock was?
No, we go to a dock, and he had his own boat, and he'd go out.
Probably Biscayne,
and then
Biscayne Bay.
And pick up bales of weed, and he'd put them on the boat. And
no!
Oh, my God. And then we go to a warehouse. This is when I was 10,
no.
11, 9.
No.
Well, fuck yeah. And then what happened was not the house before 130th Avenue, but the house before that, the summer before that, when I was 8, he was crazy. Littlefoot was a real fucking Cuban.
That's your uncle.
Was Mike, que me bautizó. And my mother baptized her daughter. So to the Cubans, that's gigantic.
Yeah, yeah.
In the Cuban tradition, godfather, when something goes down, they, no questions. They got to come grab the kid.
El padrino.
That's La the Marina, godfather. Right. La Marina. That's something that's huge in the Catholicism, the Cuban mentality of living. So I used to go down and he'd say, don't say nothing. In the mornings, he'd give me $50, but he didn't sleep. At 7, he'd go right back to his construction.
But nobody ever explained to you what those bales of...
I knew what they were.
How'd you know?
Because my mother and my father, so...
In New York?
Yeah, in my house, my mother's motto was, Mira oye calla. Don't say nothing. So he's the one that slipped. See, in 1966, I just turned 3, and the bar was doing great. The bar was doing...
In New York?
In New Jersey.
In New Jersey. In Union City, well,
the bar was doing great. Ba-da-da-da-da. It's a Saturday night. They're doing great at the bar. They're drinking, and one thing leads to another. And Rolofo, that was his name, also lived in Union City at the time. This is before his kids. He lived in Union City up the corner from us. And him and my dad, Mendian Perico, they were selling coke.
Not in 66.
Please, listen to the story.
Holy shit.
So.
Holy
my mother had
shit.
The bar. They had already sold. In 66, they had already sold the restaurant that put them on the map. It was called El Oque. It was just a Cuban restaurant by Union Hill High School, but if anybody, 39th and New York Avenue. That's all Cubanism. At Club 38. Club 38 was owned by Willie Randy. Willie Randy was the dude who they were talking about in Godfather 2 with the big dick in Cuba. That was his grandfather. He also had a big dick. So he did that show where they tie him up, his dick would come out, and people would faint. Right around the corner from Lefty Cortina. He's on Facebook, another Cuban kid. His father was like there were two Cuban doctors. You either had the Cortinas or the Del Valle. But Del Valle, you could don't get a house call after 5 because I'm at the Apasacito, and he'd be over your house trying to shoot you with the penicillin.
No.
Oh my God. Oh my God. This is real shit.
In New Jersey.
In New Jersey, we had from 1955 to today, not till about 1987. Union City was the second biggest Cuban population in the country.
Right.
Fucking
right.
Craziness.
Right.
So here's my mother, Rolofo. Rodolfo had a big deal the next day, so he didn't go to the bar. My mother and my dad and all these people are celebrating, they're doing bumps.
No, in 66?
So they're doing fucking, this is the shit that came right from Bogota. No middleman. So they're doing bumps. My mother and my father go in the bathroom, and they scoop a big bump. My mother does one, and she walks out of the bathroom. My dad does two, and he walks out of the bathroom. But my mother says she's got dizzy. And she wanted to puke.
Heroin.
So she started puking. But then she wanted to tell my dad. She puked it before. So they laced the pure heroin with poison. So my dad did the fucking blow. And he just died. So they kept calling Rodolfo and saying, Rodolfo, púrate, ven para la barra. Que algo está pasando. Something's going on with Manolo. Fucking come to the bar. And he kept saying, fuck you guys. You guys are just messing with me. I ain't going nowhere. I have this big deal tomorrow. Bye. And he kept hanging up. So in the back of his head, he always thought he could save my dad. So that's what that poor bastard lived with. You understand
so
me?
So he fucking died?
So my dad died. They took him to the
hospital. That night?
That night.
No.
Oh, my God. Yeah, 1966.
And his name was Manolo?
Manolo Camaway. His real name was Manuel Diaz, but he was from Camaway. So they called him Manolo Camaway.
And he fucking keeled over with a hot shot.
And then at the hospital, he died. But since he was the first Cuban committee man, they never put down that he died of heroin. They said it was a heart attack.
Heart attack, Jim Morrison.
My family never collected the insurance policy.
Oh.
But to make everybody cool, they had to send them back to Cuba. So my mother took them via Mexico right back to Cuba. They shipped them to Cuba in 66. It cost them like $50,000 for Fidel to let him bury him and come away. And that's the fucking story.
And you grew up without a dad.
And I grew up without a dad. So, my mother always told me your dad died of a heart attack. We're driving back from one of those drug barrels.
Yeah.
And he tells me, he goes, you know, I always feel bad about your dad. Yeah. So he was always like my dad to me. The guy in Miami. Rodolfo was a fucking badass motherfucker.
Wow, what
so
a
I
story.
Basically grew up in Miami, you know?
I'm going to help you write your book. And then you help me write mine.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. Like, I tell Lee sometimes, I'm sad my mother passed, but I'd be 600 pounds.
Because
my mother made, that's the thing.
Yeah,
the
of course.
Dish of the house, bitek alayo.
Oh, yeah, bitek alayo, with the eggs on top.
With the eggs on top and the white rice over white rice.
Oh, yeah.
And you slice it, you slice it this way.
The thing spreads.
And the yolks and you mix it with, it's fucking disgusting.
Listen, man, I've been going to La Carreta in Miami whenever I'm in Miami, I go on Saturdays with my dad and his Cuban pilot friends. And these guys have an accumulated fucking knowledge and history of the wars, the Congo wars, the Biafran wars in Africa, because they were Cuban pilots and they worked wherever they could. They got hired to fly crazy missions in fucking Africa and in Greece and, you know, wherever there was strife, wherever the CIA was trying to stop some communist takeover. And these guys were there. We're all there. And so I'm part of that when I go. Not anymore because he passed in December. Rest his soul. But they loved him because he is charismatic. And my dad was like Bebo. They call him Bebo.
Bebo.
El Bebo. Capitán, el capitán, el comandante, or el capitán, capitán. And they know him at La Carreta. And every Saturday, there we are, you know, at noon, at the big table with five Cuban pilots. And they're all cool and fucking wild guys, you know, but really, really cool guys. They survived all that. But my dad just didn't have, my dad was the strongest and the biggest, you know, physically. But he had more physical problems because he had such a great appetite of life that he drank too much and he ate too much, you know what I mean? But he exercised a lot, but it just caught up with him. It caught up with him, and so literally 7 months ago, I was at lunch with them at La Carreta, telling stories about fucking the Congo. About Africa in the 60s, the Congo War, 66, when you were in Jersey, they were in, and I was in Miami like a little boy, like, you know, trying to get to the stadium to see to Dinner Key to see the Doors, and I didn't get to go, and that's where Jim Morrison got busted for obscenity.
Obscenity in Miami.
Because supposedly he was trying to take his dick out and show the audience. but nobody ever proved that. And then poor Jim Morrison, you know, later on dies. And I remember the first time my dad took us to Europe, first time I got out of Miami, we went to Europe and we went to Madrid because he had a real job flying for an airline, like a charter airline. And we went to Madrid and it was the most amazing fucking experience at 14. And I remember that I would, because I was a baseball fan and it was baseball season. It was April already in May. And I would pick up the New York Herald Tribune that's published in Paris or something in English, because I had to see the baseball scores. every day while I was in Madrid, because Madrid is fucking, they don't give a fuck about American sports in Spain. But by the way, Madrid is like one of the most beautiful and cosmopolitan cities in the world, except that they smoke too much. They smoke, the women smoke too much. But I heard it's getting better. But the best food in the world, okay? Other than Argentina, of course.
How about Panama?
Panama, I haven't been.
All right, Panama's got some badass food.
Really?
They have a fucking ceviche market.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
And I've heard that.
But Lima too. Peru.
I heard this from New Yorkers.
Oh, yeah?
Best Chinese food they've ever had.
Oh, I've had the best Chinese food I ever had.
Panama.
No, the best Chinese food I ever had was in Peru. From the Peruvian Chinese. Because they were brought there to build the railroads. And they invented this thing called chifa. And it's like Peruvian ceviche, fucking Chinese wonton, motherfucking like noodles and you know. Of course, I can't eat any of that shit anymore, but that's okay. It was nice while it lasted. So my dad took us to, and one day in Madrid, I get the New York Herald Tribune. I run down to the hotel. I'm 14 years old. And I pick up the newspaper. And on the fucking front cover is a picture of Jim Morrison in his bathtub. In a bathtub in Paris. This just happened while I was in Madrid. You know, what is it? 300 miles away? Madrid and Paris. And Jim Morrison died of a heart attack at 27. Bueno. That's... Who dies of a heart attack at 27? He ingested a lot of stuff. And what happened was, and they'll never say it, they'll never admit it, you know, but there's a lot of stuff, you know, I mean,
he's buried in France, correct?
He's buried in France, and people like, they're all over the fucking cemetery.
Now, is that your man? That's your
well, singing? It's just that I really loved the Doors music, and I did have like an insight into Jim because he was so restless. He was a very, very intellectual guy, but he was really fucked up about his background because he was the son of an admiral in the Navy. His father was Steve Morrison, who was Admiral Steve Morrison. And so Jim went to Florida State, which is near me, you know, Tallahassee. Both my brothers went to Florida State. And Jim went to California and became a hippie, and he started singing, writing lyrics, you know. And I had that sound. I could do that, you know, and I could do that sound. And when I came to Los Angeles, everybody, and I had long hair, and everybody say, wow, you've got to play Jim Morrison. You've got to play Jim Morrison, because I looked like a little bit like him. I didn't have the blue eyes, you know, but his eyes were never really, really very blue. They were kind of red. You know, but the thing is that when I did Scarface, people said, now you have the opportunity to do Jim Morrison, talk to Brian De Palma. And I did. I talked to Brian, and Brian told me straight out, Brian loved me. Scarface, Manolo, he'd be like, no, I'm doing it with John Travolta. We're like, John Travolta's going to play Jim Morrison? He's like, no, I should play Jim Morrison. And I would perform all over Hollywood in parties. I would get a fucking bottle of vodka, and I'd be swilling it, and I would perform, and people would put music on. They put records. We used to have records then. And they put the record on with the Doors song, music, and I'd jump, and I'd be up on a fucking table. Me, Rocky from Miami, right? But I'd be on a table going, you know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break out through to the other side. You know, I'd be doing that, and people would be like, fuck, you've got to play Jim Morrison. And then what happens? I do Scarface, and I have all kinds of opportunities, and Oliver Stone takes over the project. Who wrote Scarface? He wrote Scarface, and he liked me a lot, and he gave me two other scripts to do, to try to get done, because he couldn't get hired as the director. He wanted to make these movies, and he said, Steve, you're going to be really big after Scarface. Get these movies done, Platoon, and Born on the 4th of July. because you're perfect for both roles. And I was, I had my head up somebody's butt or something. You know, I don't know what I was doing. I was lazy and I was having a good time and I was with Melanie and we were just living life, you know, as a roller coaster. And so I didn't really jump on that. I wasn't thinking like a producer. You know, like a lot of, like a few of my peers have done, like George Clooney has done. He's right away, he took his fame and he turned it into making movies. Sean Penn, he's done that. He right away started wanting to direct films. And I was just like, nah, I'm going to coast. I'm going to have fun for a while. And then I'll direct some movies, you know, then I'll make some movies. And, but I had these opportunities and I just, I didn't really want to move on them because it was a lot of work and I was too busy living life. You see what I mean? And so that's that period. Oliver Stone got the rights to the Jim Moore to the Doors movie, and he started holding auditions. And right away, people said, "Like, you've got to see Steven. You have to." But I had just done a job, a movie where my hair was really short, so I went in to meet with him, and he went, "Manny, you're not going to play Jim Morrison. Come on, I love you, but you're not Jim Morrison." I'm like, "Yes, I am." You should hear what people say. You should hear me perform. And he goes, "But look at you. You're Manny." And I was just like, fuck. And that same day, Val, who I knew from New York City, Val Kilmer, I knew him. He had just graduated from Juilliard. And Melanie and I introduced him to Cher, who they got together. And Val was a cool guy. He's an interesting guy. And Val showed up, and he had long hair. His hair is blonde, but he had long hair. And he was there, like, barefoot at the audition with long hair. And when he saw me, he was like, "Oh, Steve, don't. Go. Get out of here. Get out of here, man. This is my chance. This is my chance to play Jim Morris." And he goes, "I've seen you. I've seen a video that you did as Jim." And I said, "What video?" And he said, "People Are Strange. That's you, right?" And I said, "No, that's Jim Morrison." He thought I had done this video that was recently circulating about that's like home movies from the Doors, where you see Jim Morrison with long hair and he's got glasses, he's got sunglasses on, and he's riding a bicycle in Venice Beach. And when you're strange, yeah, faces come out of the rain. And so Val said, "Oh, man, come on, don't do this to me. I have a really good shot at this." And I said, "Well, look at me. I have fucking no hair. I have short hair. And Oliver doesn't think I'm Jim at all." And so when it came down to it, they were like, the producers were like, "Well, we could put a wig on him and he could do it." And then, but for some reason, I think Val had a movie that had just gotten on out. And he was kind of hot at the time.
Top Gun, of course,
which I turned down. By the way, I turned down his role. Iceman. I turned down his role because I thought, I don't want to be the asshole in this movie. He's the asshole. And I was like that, Joey. That's how I was. They offered that to me. You can be Ice. You can't be Wolfman. You can't be the other guy. You can't be the other guy. Tom Cruise's role.
Tom Cruise's role.
Right? You can be Ice, the badass, you know, the asshole. And I said, I don't want to do that.
And which one were you offered for the Army movie with Sean Penn?
No, the Platoon movie.
Platoon.
I got offered, what happened was that
William Dafoe.
Willem's role, the Elias, Sergeant Elias, the good sergeant. And you know who was the bad sergeant? Tom Berenger. They put together a deal. It was myself as Elias, Michael Paré. Remember Michael Paré?
Michael Paré,
who has just done Eddie and the Cruisers. Remember Eddie and the Cruisers?
Yes. I just saw him at the Warner Brothers, and I saw him with cowboy boots on, walking past.
He's a sweet guy.
He's a sweet. Bro, when I saw Eddie and the Cruisers, I thought he was going to take superstar. Over the world.
Superstar.
I thought he was going to take
the only thing he couldn't do is sing. He didn't sing that part. John Cafferty sang it. But it doesn't matter. He was fucking beautiful, incredible. And he had a great voice. He had like a deep voice like this. And he's a sweet guy, Michael. And Michael was going to play Sergeant Barnes, Tom Berenger's role. And I was going to play Elias, the Indian, the half-Indian role, the good sergeant, Willem's role. And you know who was playing the boy? Emilio. Not Charlie Sheen. Emilio Estevez. That was the cast. And they almost got it made. And the financing fell through. And so Oliver was like really depressed and he didn't get it done. And I took another job, which was Sword of Gideon. And Sword of Gideon, where I had the lead, which was remade later as Munich with Eric Bana playing my role, right? By Spielberg. But Sword of Gideon, if you see it, it's fucking badass. With Rod Steiger, I got to work. Rod Steiger and Michael York.
Yes.
You know, so I went to Israel. I got my whole, that's how I got my whole education with Israel and my connection to Israel. And, but I missed Platoon.
When you were in Israel, did you meet any directors?
Yeah, I met some directors.
Did you meet the great Lee Syatt? Did you meet him?
Who?
Lee Syatt.
No.
He calls me director from Israel.
That's how I introduce people. Oh, that's Lee Syatt. From Israel, and people always
love him. Manny Shmah, Besedu.
How you doing?
Yeah.
See, who do you think you're dealing with? You think I show up with half fucking... I show up with people with Jew blood in them. You understand? You fucking
It is interesting when you... like, sometimes I'll have that before the movie, like facts. It is interesting when you find out like who could have played what roles, and because people don't really get to hear about
that. They
don't
get to hear about it. They love all that.
You're gonna have to text my girlfriend, tell her that I've taken more than 20 minutes, because she thinks like we'd be done right away. We'd be done in 20 minutes. Just text her and say I'm sorry, I'm holding him over, because we're talking about life.
Well, you were talking earlier about the Cuban food you guys used to have.
Yeah.
We started late with holding him over just a few more minutes.
But trust me, you know I like to eat. And my mom was a great cook. After dating a Mexican girl and going to Cuban food a few times with Joey, and then yesterday, I would have been 900 pounds if I had a Spanish mother.
Oh, yeah.
The amount of food they cook,
listen,
and how good it is.
Lee, I've been to like 235, 238. Okay, now that I'm eating pretty well, and I'm still not real, I'm not that disciplined, but I'm pretty good. I weigh, this morning I weighed 198.
That's awesome. It took how long?
It took 3 months, 4 months.
That's cool. Yeah, no, it's in...
Because the bread, cutting down on the white bread,
yeah.
Even wheat bread, you know, I don't eat wheat, but if somebody serves up, like we went to Mastro's the other night, you know, and they brought a basket of bread, and I'm like, oh man, I gotta taste it. She's like, you don't have to, you really don't have to, it's not good for you. And I go, I'm gonna taste it, okay, with some butter.
Fuck yeah!
I did that with Dave Foley the other day.
Fuck yeah! I always said when I was growing up, my mom, when the morning she would make, there was no cereal in my house. There was no cakes in my house. It was always 3 eggs, 5 pieces of fucking bread with butter, thick Cuban bacon. Not that skinny Oscar Mayer fucking bacon.
No. Thick
fucking slabs. Yeah, two pieces of steak.
And my mom would make like two. Platanito, like two fucking plantains.
Plantains.
Chop, 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 chop. Like there'd be 24 fucking, plantains there. And I had to move fast because my brother Ernie, he can eat. And then my adopted brother, Victor, who's an actor, Victor Rivers, he came into our household when he was 17. We sort of adopted him when his family broke up, and I brought him home. And he was a senior, and I was a junior, and we offered him a place to live. And he became my brother. But that motherfucker could eat and eat fast. And so my mom would put down the plantains in the middle, and we'd each have our plate. And I'd be like eating and talking and telling stories. And these motherfuckers would be grabbing all my shit, grabbing all. I mean, like, can they save me like three plantains? You guys can have the rest of the, like, 17 other plantains. Like, can it save me? Like, fuck you. And then my mom would put down, like, one more steak. And she'd say, like, split that between the three of you. And I'd be like, oh, fuck. These guys are so aggressive.
Cubans love this steak because this is the skinny steak.
Oh, the skinny steak. It's called a
palomilla.
Palomilla, and also the other one is,
they slice it in the butterfly.
And churrasco.
And churrasco. But I'm a palomilla type.
Oh, you are. Oh,
I'm an old school palomilla with white rice, black beans, and fried fucking bananas.
Yeah.
I will stab you in the neck for that.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And if you put red beans, that's even better. With some white rice and some raw onions over the steak with a little parsley and shit. What? With some natilla. My mom would make natilla over fucking...
What's natilla?
Entenmann's pound cake. This you have no idea. This Entenmann's. Custard. Listen, this custard that they make is like a cinnamon custard.
Okay.
That had, like, everything. It's like eggs, milk, and butter, and sugar. Yeah. But if you eat this and lift weights, you'll become Sergio Oliva. Like, that's it. Plain and simple. That and it was natilla and flan in my house. The thick fucking, you know, the Puerto Ricans over here. Mofongo.
Oh, mofongo.
Their flan. Their flan over there is that thick coconut.
Wait, you've been to that place?
Yeah, what I do is I have my wife make the pork chops on the grill, Cuban style, and I come over here, and for $6 I get an order.
I pick up the mofongo.
I pick up the red beans and the tortones. Why am I going to make a mess at the house?
They make tortones?
$2 an order.
No.
Yes, they do. You get three orders of those and two maduras.
Like tortones.
Tortones. And they got two cocoricos. You take that to go. You make the steak at the house.
You haven't been in Miami recently? You know they have this place called El Palacio de Jugos on Encore Way, and it's open air, and it's got tables outside, and they have every kind of juice, every kind of fruit, right? Papaya and fruta bomba and everything, and they make juices. But they also have a counter where they're constantly cooking and churning out and putting shit down. And so you have... You're looking at this stuff that you can choose to eat, to sit down and eat. Bacalao, like frituras de bacalao.
Oh, I love all that shit.
Fuck, chuleta de puerco, you know, like everything. And then they have two different, like, bins for the big tostones that are this big. Like, this big. They're yellow. They're like Hawaiian, and it's the new thing for Cubans in Miami. Okay, they're yellow and with salt, and it's incredible. You can get like four of them, take them home, and like you have people eating out of your hands. and then they have los maduros, right? They have the maduros. Oh, and I like the maduros a little bit burnt. I don't like them like, too, like them. You like them burnt? Yeah, I like them with a little bit of black.
Yeah, I don't like them that gooey.
No, I don't like them that gooey. I like them fucking burnt.
I love flying out of Miami International because I know I'm going to take something to go.
Something to go.
I will load up 16 Cuban sandwiches. I will upgrade it to first class. I won't even have her cook them on the thing. I bring them rolled up and I cook them at home.
And you cook them at home.
You cook them at home nice and burnt. That's how you do it. You bring them raw right at the airport. They sell them. First flight of the fucking day.
Of course.
Right there. Bang.
So wait, now tell me about mofongo.
Okay, so you go at the house, you get a palomilla steak.
Yeah, whatever. You're going to cook it.
You call it. Right before you start cooking, go, I want two orders of white rice with red beans. That's all they got. The red beans, the little potatoes in them.
But they have the...
And they have tortones. They don't have the big Hawaiian ones.
But they have tortones.
To hold you over and Maduro. So for $12, you eat like a fucking soldier. You get two and two.
Once a month.
That's it. I can't do it either. I'm living on fucking brown rice.
No, it also is good. And it's not even that exciting. But Paula's mom loves Cuban crackers. Those things are delicious.
With cheese and ham on those motherfuckers?
We bought them at Porto, so we just had them plain.
Listen, bro, my mom had the bar on 29th and Bergenline down the corner, 30 yards with the place Hernandez is Cuban. But this is in the 60s. This guy had one foot that was shorter than the other with the platform, so the thing was higher. So when you walked by, the sandwiches were already cut. They had Swiss cheese, ham, the pickle, and mayonnaise. So you walk
They're already cut.
They're already cut. And you go, Hernandez, what do you want? I'm two Cuban sandwiches. He'd take the pork right off and the ham, because they have a ham and a pork, and they put that on the sandwich. They take a thing of butter, spray butter. They hit that motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They butter the top of the sandwich,
and then they flip it. Yeah,
but
then they put the thing, press it
they
down.
They don't have an idea. Yeah. With a batido of mame, with a papaya milkshake.
Oh, that's what Paula got.
With a little bit of salt in that motherfucker. Yeah, yeah. You got to put the salt in that motherfucker, right?
Whose sandwiches do you think were better, yours or the one on Chef?
The one, fuck Chef. Chef's a punk compared to what I got in my fucking mental.
In your capacity, in your memory.
Listen, dog, the Cubans make a sandwich. What's the ham? The Cuban hamburger, la frita. It's half pork with chorizo.
Yeah, frita.
Lee, you would move to Miami. Yeah, I have no, I can't even take you to Miami.
It's like White Castle on steroids.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Lee, they have a croqueta preparada, which is a Cuban sandwich.
White Castle's pretty fucking good.
Delicious.
But this is Caribbean fucking White Castle.
Oh, my God. They have a croqueta preparada, which is a croqueta with the Swiss, the ham, on the Cuban.
That's what my dad would eat.
That'll kill you. That's a heartbreaker right there. And then let's talk about the drinks. Way before the fucking coconut waters or whatever, the Cubans have the mateba. You have
Iron Bear,
which is iron beer. It's a Cuban Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what I grew up on, which killed me for a while, but it put weight on me when I was a sickly kid. They have a drink called Mateba.
Mateba, of course.
It lowers your blood pressure.
It does?
Naturally. It's got that stuff in it.
A friend of mine brought me some recently. Yeah. It's still sitting in my fridge.
And they have diet, too, now in
diet
Miami.
Diet Mateba, yeah.
But here's what the Cubans did. They said, blood pressure? What are you talking about, blood pressure? Blood pressure could suck my dick. Get me the condensed milk. Not just milk.
Oh
my God. Oh, they would get 3 fingers of condensed milk and then put mateba over it and stir it up. It is delicious. It is delicious. Now, the savage Cubans, they take mata atue, which is the Indian that Columbus killed.
Atue.
And they put 3 fingers of cream.
Those guys are sick. Those are sick.
They would put the three fingers of whatever and with the mata atue and stir it up. You have no idea. That is better than any energy drink. All these energy drinks they got right there.
Yeah.
Hit me up on the side. I will give you a fucking weight gain drink at night with Cuban cookies, with butter. I was telling my wife, I don't like coffee and milk. You do know that. I drink my fucking coffee black. And I'll tell you why. I grew up with Cubans that would get the Cuban bread with butter.
With butter and dip it in the fucking... Me too.
It makes me cry. It makes me fuck it. You know, then they have a thing called cream cheese. You know Philadelphia cream cheese?
Yeah.
When right. Cubans
with
die
guayaba.
And they open their heart, three of those tubes are congested with cream cheese. The beans give up after a while, right?
Yeah, the beans.
They mix them with guayaba. Those crackers
on the crackers.
Wahai, the ones Wahai that you like.
Okay.
Listen, after school, after junior high, we go to my grandmother's because my mom was still working. So we go to my grandmother, Abuelita, and she would have, the moment we walked in, she'd have the Wahai crackers with a slice of guayaba and a spread of cream cheese. And sometimes... And sometimes she didn't have the guayaba or something, so we'd have the cracker with the cream cheese and some sugar on top.
I had the guava and the cream cheese at Versailles in West LA.
Yeah.
Oh, it was good.
But then
Porto's yesterday had a sandwich with those potato balls in it.
Yes, they have papa rea.
Oh.
It's the potato with the ham, the Swiss.
Not that one. The fried one with the ground beef in it.
Yeah.
Just that one.
That's papa rea sandwich.
Yeah. No. It's that's carbohydrate. Listen.
Yeah.
When you go to Weight Watchers, they give you 40 points for the day, like a fat fuck like me. When you eat a Cuban steak sandwich, it's 26 points.
Oh.
That means you got 14 points left for the fucking day.
Yeah, this much left.
That's what Cuban food does to you. That's why and Mexican food will really kill you.
Oh, yeah.
Mexican food's a silent fucking killer. Let me ask you one more question. I know you're in a rush here. Yesterday, they released it. They're going to remake Scarface.
I heard that.
I saw that.
Well, I've been hearing it for 2 years. Here's the thing. And some of my friends are saying, well, they should just put you in the movie,
in a role in a movie,
and I'm saying, but do I really want to do that? Do I want to be in something that's going to be forever compared to not forever because it may not last? In other words, if it really comes short of Scarface. If it matches Scarface, that'd be a fucking miracle.
It's not gonna match Scarface.
Of course not. So chances are, most probably, it'll be an attempt. And then what would it look like that I was in that in that back, you know, sort of like
and
that.
And they're not attempt. Even filming it in Miami. They're filming it in LA, aren't they?
I know, it's an LA story. I know that Bregman is involved to some degree, or he gave the rights. I don't know. I'm going to have to get some advice on this.
It's very crazy that...
I have to get some advice. It's like with Cuba. It's like, do I go to Cuba? Do I wait for everybody to die? Do I wait for the government to fade away and be moved on? Or do I just go there and just embrace, you know, the reality of Cuba and come to grips with it? You know, those guys will die eventually, you know, and I have a lot of friends who were just resistant to that. And my dad was resistant. My dad just passed away. So he's like, no, fuck that. Don't go. Don't go. Okay. Don't go. But meanwhile, there it is. It's right there, you know, and I do want to go. I really want to go. Now, do I not go because of a silent, yeah, it just as a sign of protest and not meet the Cuban people? I don't have to fucking meet Fidel or Raul Castro or anybody in the government. I could go undercover and just really, really get to know Cuba. You know what I mean?
Yesterday was my sister's birthday. It was her 58th birthday. I thought about Cuba all day, and I couldn't find a fucking number. She's in Cuba.
She's there? Well, I think we should go and go see her.
I've been thinking about it. I really have been thinking about it.
I think we should go see her.
I want to just go with the whole family, the baby, the wife.
You know what? You know what, Joey? 2 years ago, before my dad got really sick, I thought my other son, Al, he had an idea. My older son, he, because he's visual and he's a musician, and he had an idea because he didn't spend a lot of time with my dad as his grandfather. He didn't get a lot of chance to spend with him. But he was there near the end. He did come for the end, and so did my other son, Dylan. And what Al thought was, wow, what if you and me and your dad went and I filmed it? And we missed it. We missed it. He's gone. So I don't want to miss it. You know?
Did you see Louis Tiaz?
No, ESPN? I haven't seen it it's yet. I know all about it too. Yeah,
I thought of doing that. I thought of going to my father's grave. I thought about going to see my sister.
It's like
thought of going to Camagüey and seeing those savages.
Yeah,
I thought of going to and seeing the Valdezes. You know, my cousins, Eki Alfonso. He's in the Cuban traveling band. Wow. Eme Alfonso. They travel for the, you know.
Yeah.
It's I loved it. I think I would have a nervous breakdown at this age. I was so Cuban growing up.
You were.
You have no fucking idea.
Yeah, because like, Jersey was. Union City was.
I wasn't Joe Spick with hoop doop de doop merengue shoes and shit. But in my house, I was fucking Cuban, Papa.
You were.
They killed chickens. They sold drugs. They had bolitero. You know, they spoke. So when I first met you and we had you on Beauty and the Beast, and you told me that you had not grown up around that.
No.
My head almost exploded because in the back of my, I left there feeling very bad. Because I said not all these Cubans grew or even had the knowledge. You know, I had grown up in Miami all those summers. When I went back to Miami in October of 84 and to the Falls, these kids that I was a kid with, that I was 14 and 13 with, were now 18 and 19, and they weren't great little kids. No. And I'm not talking about the Cuban kids. I'm talking about the white kids were double aggressive. Wow. And I remember them taking me to a fucking thing on Okeechobee Road, and there was an old guy like 60, and we knocked on the trailer, and we went in, and he had a girl in the bed that was like 22. And he goes, bang, entra. And we went in, he said, get in. We went like an eight ball, and he gave us, and he kept saying, tocate. That means do a bump.
Do a bump, yeah.
And we're like, you talk about that. He goes, me estoy tocando el día entero. He goes, I've been touching myself all day.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like a fucking, I was coming from New York where I thought it was the end all be all. Miami was living it. it had turned into Scarface. Like, yeah. It was done.
Yeah.
Everybody. I went to McDonald's by the Orange Bowl, and three people came up to you. They were selling keys at the fucking McDonald's.
At McDonald's.
I remember bringing it back on the plane, Eastern Airlines, right back to New York, and like nothing, and then doing it two or three times. I was going down there to pick up like 800 ounces. I used to go to a furniture store. Muñeco was his name.
Yeah,
he had one eye straight and the other one went up.
Uh-huh.
And I used to have to stay at his house to pick up the blow. And that's the story I told you. One night he'd get paranoid. And his house in Miami, he had money, so his house had bars around
it. Bars around it, and he had guns.
At night he would bar himself up, and his wife would tell him, if you're going to snort coke, go in the other house.
Oh, yeah.
So he had a back house, and he would walk around with a tub of margarine. We're filled with butter. Salud. Look, I'm not lying.
Thank you.
Filled with butter with a dish with the coke floating on it. So if the cops came in, he could dump the dish into the water. This is craziness. And he would come out with, like, work boots on, like slippers, and fucking underwear. And this is why when I first saw Boogie Nights and I saw that scene with the Chinese guy, this is craziness.
No, no, that's a Chinese guy.
Alfredo. Alfredo, but the Chinese guy kept lighting this stuff.
Oh, that guy kept setting
like,
up
it
the
was
fucking...
that type of party.
Oh,
and he
my
kept
God.
Coming back and giving me more coke. Then he'd go in a room and he'd come back. Finally, the gun landed on the floor and he shot himself. And his son and his wife were like, he does this every 6 months. The ambulance will come here in 3 minutes. They know he shoots himself. He does this every time he gets paranoid. And when I was a kid, I remember hearing my mother going, boy, she would tell my stepfather, don't bring Muñeco over here no more. He drives you crazy when you do a blast with him. Fuck.
Somebody's outside. Somebody's outside. No, no, that was Muñeco. He'd be like, there's somebody outside right now.
No, he'd start all over.
Yeah.
But the funny, like, I really grew up in a cute, like, I tell this story all the time. The first Cuban cop that had the balls in Union City to shake down other Cubans. These Cubans got enthralled. And this is where this Cuban neighborhood, I used to, like my dad was un bolidero. There's a thing called Lolita. Something, the big guy that they're gonna do his movie. That's the dude you should wait. Uh-huh. They're gonna do the CIA guy. Batley, Jose Batley, they're about to do his story.
Really?
Yeah, in Union City, the guy that went to the CIA, that they took him down, he did time in Cuba. When he came back, he went up to the government and said, you did what you did, now I got to do what I do. Don't touch me. I'll give you information from time to time, but don't touch me.
Wow.
They're still finding Jose battle money in Miami. They just found $10 million it had mold in it. That he had forgotten about. Jose Battle was a savage. So that whole organization, Jose Battle, CIA, Cuban thing, was floating around in West New York, New Jersey.
Wow.
So that whole thing. So this Cuban cop decides with long hair and all out, but he's going to shake down these Cuban bar owners. Cuban bar owners, the one guy's name was Boyo Triste. That means sad pussy.
Sad
fuck
pussy.
Big pussy from The Sopranos. This is 1970, and they were already calling this guy Boyo Triste. They were more. It was a fucking nightmare. And this Cuban cop went around. He shook down people. One day they shot him at Rapido Taxi, the fastest taxi in Little Cuba there, because they delivered coke. That was when they were opening up. So he went in there to shake them down. They pulled out machine guns, and they shot the Cuban cop. Till this day, they don't know who shot the fucking Cuban cop.
Was it Batley?
No, they don't know. They don't fucking
know. They got Batley?
No, they got the dirty cop. Jose Batler was this Cuban dude that lived there that ran this big numbers operation that went all the way to Miami, and then it closed up. But that was his neighbor. So I grew up very Cuban.
Wow.
So when my mother died, they pulled the plug on me. I didn't discover Cubans again until 1985 in San Francisco.
Wow.
The Mariel had taken over a neighborhood in Cuba, in San Francisco.
In San Fran?
The Tenderloin. They took over three
blocks.
And they were tough, but they were geniuses.
Wow.
Stephen Bauer, they were geniuses.
They were selling to all the gay people.
They were, no. That's the first time I seen un bugarrón. Un bugarrón is a Cuban dude that gets his dick sucked and he smacks around his gay boyfriend, but he don't get fucked in the ass.
Right.
And there was a Cuban dude that had two little guys that had wigs with beards, and he would make them go to the store. Hey, busca mi cigarrillo. And if they would come back later, he'd bitch slap him right in the street. Tremendous. This was the Cuban culture that was
tremendous.
Like, who sees this shit? When was the last time you seen somebody get smacked with a wig on? You don't
know.
People live their whole fucking life. And the guy goes down and puts the wig on like nothing happened. Hey.
And he's got a beard.
Fucking, you know.
That
the Cuban thing is hilarious.
Yeah, it is.
One of the funniest things ever. There was this Cuban drug dealer, and he'd come over and he'd show you the coke. And one day my girlfriend was white. She did not speak English.
Spanish.
Spanish. So he kept talking, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, what's wrong with her? And I'm like, she's deaf. And this, this, you know, if anybody has a Cuban uncle, there's always that one Cuban that knows and did everything.
Yeah.
He fought Muhammad Ali. Mm-hmm. He worked on the building of Empire State Building. He knew Lee Iacocca.
Yeah, he
hung
was,
out with Fidel. He smacked fucking...
Che Guevara.
Right? Oh, yeah. This guy. And yeah. So he goes, out of nowhere, he goes, what do you mean she's deaf? And I go, you know, she's Mulita. He goes... And I go, why? You know language? He goes, yeah, I know how to speak the language. And he does that, and she's like... And she does something back to him, and he's like, looks at it, he goes... I don't know that language yet.
Fuck, oh we should write a God. We should write a book about the two Cuban experiences in the US. The two versions. It's interesting because, you know, I mean, it was
fucking crazy.
It's great. It's really colorful. Oh, maybe we...
It was very crazy.
You're giving me some really good ideas.
I just reconnected with a girl on Facebook that grew up. She was there the night that they called to hit on that Cuban cop. And before we got off the phone, we said to each other, we grew up seeing a lot of fucking crazy shit. But she took care of this dude for years named Andres Garcia. They called him Tati. He ended up going to jail because that was his thing. He would make a drug deal and then come with a machine gun and take it from him. And take the money. Oh, this guy was crazy. And I grew up around him. He used to take me for haircuts. He's the one that gave me the Coke Rock and told me, when you get older, save this and put this on a girl's pussy. And he told my mother.
That when did he get a Coke Rock?
In the sixth grade, he gave me a Coke Rock. And he goes, why? Have you ever got a girl over here?
In the sixth grade?
He knew I had a girlfriend. He took me into the city across the street from the Sheridan Center with a haircut for $75. And he got my hair cut. They used to shave me with a razor. I had no hair on my face. And they'd shave me with a razor, the whole thing. And he gave me a Coke Rock. He's like, the first time you bring a girl over here, put this on a pussy and eat her pussy. Then one night he told my mom, like 3 months later, my mom fucking sat me down the next day. Why do you listen to that fucking lunatic? I don't know. He's your fucking friend. You know, he comes over here. And his wife's name was Nina, pero ella tortillera. She was a lesbian. So she was allowed to fuck other women. These were crazy fucking animals. In fact, my uncle, even when I asked my uncle here, because my uncle and my mom were tight, but not in her other business. And we went to eat one day, and my uncle goes, you know, I was asking him questions. He goes, you know what, man? It's better you don't even think of those fucking people, because those people were Cuban savages.
Wow.
And then once Mario got let out, my mother had just died before me and Mariel.
Oh, before Mariel.
Right, she died November 79.
Yeah.
So it was happening right after that.
Yeah, right after.
Last Saturday, I was in Sacramento. I was doing comedy. I do comedy from Thursday to Sunday morning. And Saturday, I got up early, and I went for a walk, and I smoked a joint. I got nice and fucking high, and I went back, and I was going to take a nap, and Scarface came on. It was on. It was on Spike. And it was... from the part you walk in the bar and the DEA guy goes up to him and tries to milk him, and they try to shoot him. Then you go back to
Mel Bernstein.
Then you go back and they tried to ruin my halal suit. I got to tell you something. I hadn't seen that scene in maybe 15 years.
Really? That's a great scene. Really?
Yeah, because I grew up on it in 1984.
So you haven't been watching it in the last few years?
The last few years. You know, after we used to sit around and snort coke
and watch
the fucking thing for 2 days. So now, but I watched it, and some movies you watch, this fucking thing. Till he asked Ernie about the job, like I gave him, like a breath fucking came out of me, man.
I know.
It still has not missed a beat.
And I go, what about Ernie? And he goes, and he looks at Ernie, and Ernie's standing there fucking trembling. And he goes, hey, Ernie, do you want a job? And he goes, yeah, Tony. Okay, you come see me on Monday. And fucking Angel goes, hey, man, you got a job.
I sat
and it just relaxes, and you can breathe.
You let a breath out. And then I watched the part where you gave the sister the ride home.
Oh,
now, I think that middle section is the best part of the movie.
Yeah, I love all that
stuff. And then when he goes and talks to the old guy's girlfriend at the pool.
Right, that was on. I watched that.
Yeah, he goes.
I watched up to the part.
First time I saw you, I said to myself, she's a tiger. She's just like me.
I watched that, and I watched the restaurant scene. Yeah. To me, the restaurant scene
is so good.
As good as they fucking come.
Yeah.
It's a great. You're great in that scene. You're perfect.
Thanks. Yeah.
Perfect.
What's amazing to me is this, man, is that he, this is how great he was, is that he was, he had no vices to be, you know, nothing to get him high. Al was not drinking or doing any drugs. So that, what you see, is his performance, his interpretation of, you know, when he says, well, is this what it's all about, Manny? When he does that, he's not drinking or smoking or doing coke. That's just him creating this fucking image. And like over the years, that's the great, for me, it's like it's almost the greatest irony is that people say, like, you guys are really high. And I'm like, no, that's him. That's him just creating this thing. I mean, that's it.
I had to turn it off. I was watching it a couple weeks ago, and it's a point where his girlfriend's berating him when he's in the hot tub. I get paranoid because, like, she's saying some, like, terrible things to her, and I just know he's going to kick her ass. I couldn't even watch.
But he doesn't kick her ass.
Well, I forgot. I only seen it a couple times.
I was
high, and I was watching, and I was like, he's going to kick the shit out of her.
I remember one night we got so fucking coked out in 1984 that we sat there, and we watched when he smacks his wife in Godfather 2. And when he smacks his sister in Scarface.
Me
and Veneri brought the fucking things down,
yeah,
and the computers down, and we fucking sat down. Look at the way he smacked it. Holy shit, those are the best smacks in Hollywood. That's when you know you're fucking jacked out of your fucking mind. Let me give some shout outs and we'll get
right.
Stick around.
You're absolutely.
Where the fuck are you going to go? You're going to walk
I
want to give some shout outs to my main girl, Cleo, which we will get together next week. This week was hectic.
Cool.
My girl, Laura. Mikey Vincent, Harold Cook over there, fucking wrestling motherfuckers. Hope everything is all right. Juan Sanchez, Edwin Pagan, Chris Jones, Schizophrenia Jesus, Mikey Gannell, and Bill. I don't know what the fuck.
Did you say Schizophrenic Jesus?
Yeah, Schizophrenic Jesus. When do you go back to shooting Ray Donovan?
Yeah, I would say probably 2 weeks.
And this is the third season?
It's the third season. Third season, and my character is sort of alienated from Ray Donovan, even though I was the most loyal and his best friend, his only fucking friend. But right now he kind of hates me because if you've seen season two, you know how it ends, and you know that I did something to save him from going to prison, and he hates me for it because that's the way he is. He'd rather have gone to prison than have me do what I did. So now he fucking won't talk to me. So the first few episodes I'm in, and then there's a little gap where I'm not in, and then I'm going to be coming on strong because we have to reunite. Him and I have to get back together. Yeah, the first day on the set, I was looking at the scripts, that the first couple of scripts, and I was like, oh, fuck, he hates me. And I was asking the producers, like a girl, I was like, do we ever get back together? Like a high school girl. I'm like, do we ever get back together? And they're like, don't worry, Steven, don't worry. This season, you guys are going to be back together. You know, but don't give it away. Don't tell the audience. Because it creates a lot of tension. Because people are saying, like, what the fuck? You know, they're going to be like, what happened to Avi? You know, he was his best fucking friend. Well, his only friend. You know, that in season two, I think it was, someone goes, fuck, Ray, you don't even have any fucking friends. And he goes, well, I have Avi. And they go, that's not your friend. He works for you. You know? So anyway, it's great. It's a beautiful, beautiful gig. And I'm really proud of it because of the way that people respond around the country. And now around the world, it's starting to show in different places. I was in Switzerland and recently, and people in France, and people had seen it, you know. And I'm starting to get some mail from, like, Ireland and Australia, and they're showing it in Peru. And, you know, I mean, it's starting to show around the world. So But then he look, this is good. This will help my future, my film career. And there's a few movies I want to do before I get too old.
Before we go to Jack Nicholson's house and hang out. Get your balls like that.
Yeah, I did that already. No, now I got to work.
He's retired, right?
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
Yeah, he's retired now. Nah, yeah, he's listen, awesome. Man.
He's awesome.
I'm always a big fan. You're my friend. I love, I hit you up a while ago and you responded. That's it.
Thank you.
I'm happy that you're here.
No, I love doing this.
Please look at Lee. He ate a pot edible. His girlfriend's going to dump him now.
Yeah. No. We should do this once a month.
Yeah, no, whenever you want. Right? Bro. Come on.
Because I'm in the neighborhood.
And we'll bring food. He was going to bring food.
I won't get food yesterday, but I was like, no, thank God.
No, I don't eat.
You're on an organic diet now.
Yeah.
They got you on one Cuban chicken cutlet every day and shit like that.
Gluten.
Let me give
all right.
The sponsors here. If you want, you can boogie, brother. If not, you can sit.
I gotta get back because we have a new housekeeper and I gotta be there at least to translate.
All right.
All right. I love you.
I love you, bro. Thank you very much.
And I'll be back next month and give you an update on Donovan.
Whenever you want, you just call
okay,
me.
Okay. And listen, I got some movies coming out too.
What do you got coming out?
A movie called Sweet Lorraine that I did like 5 years ago, and it took him a long time to get the movie. To get the director to want to actually put it out because he's just kind of eccentric. And it stars Tatum O'Neill and myself. And it's a comedy role for me. I play Lou Bava, who is who wants to be mayor of a small Jersey town. I'm a restaurateur. I own a restaurant. And I have a lot of friends. I'm Italian-American. Basically, I'm Chris Christie, you know, and it's really, really fucking funny. And it's it's a black comedy, and Tatum plays a girl that a woman that I have a thing with, but she married a priest, and then I have a thing for her daughter, and it's really dark, but it's funny. It's Netflix? Coming out, and it will be on VOD on what is it? What's VOD by the way?
Video on demand.
Video on demand. Exactly. It'll be on demand in April. But the premiere is in New York, and I can't go because I'm working. But they're going to have a big premiere in New York, and then I got another movie that's going to show at the Cannes Film Festival with Tom Sizemore and Amanda Sante.
Okay.
And I can't go to that because I'm doing Donovan. But, you know, there's some cool stuff coming up. So look for me. Anyway, I'll come back in less than 30 days and update you.
That's why I love you.
All right. I love you, man.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Be careful on the walk home. There's people out there with fucking.
There's all kinds of savages out there.
Savages. On it.
It's a jungle.
For optimization, motherfuckers. They don't fuck around.
They don't.
You got Shroom Tech, new sport. You got everything. Shroom Tech, sport, and Shroom Tech immune. You've got the new mood. You've just. It's the T plus to raise your testosterone levels.
MCT oil.
The SAT oil.
MCT.
MCT oil, the coconut oil. I mean, everything is just top of the notch. You don't believe me, go to Onnit.com, take a look around. Take a look, see. What the fuck? You're not doing anything else. You're sitting in front of your computer like a fucking mook. Go take a look. You like something? Go to the box and press in.
Church.
And get 10% off your first order. And they also have Stay Onnit program where you get the stuff sent right to your door every month on the first of the month. All right? The best ever, my main man, Dave motherfucking Foley, up there at Iron Dragon TV, putting it together for you classic martial arts guys. I've been getting a lot of compliments lately on the Bruce Lee thing. We've done the Rogan thing. I've got Chuck Norris. That's what I do, and I'll be doing the same for Iron Dragon TV pretty soon. But the deal doesn't change. You're still going to get two free flicks, just like that. Two free movies by pressing in.
Joey.
What are you doing tonight? You're just going to sit there with a thumb up your ass and watch fucking Shark Tank. After Shark Tank, go over to Iron Dragon TV and pick yourself a nice little movie. You could stay home tonight and watch some Kung Fu and some Asians, get some Chinese food. Just make sure you get fish. You can't eat meat. It's fucking lank, cocksuckers. So go to Iron Dragon TV and press in.
Joey.
Boom! And get two free movies. I love you, my brother. Take care of yourself.
God bless you.
Get 4K technology.
With the 4K technology. Also, you're sitting there. How much longer are you going to have those creepy white underwear for? How much fucking longer? When does this end in your life? Then you wonder why you don't get your dick sucked and your balls licked. You know why? MeUndies.com. MeUndies has the best, most comfortable fucking underwear in the world. Only is the Lee boy shorts. What the fuck's he talking about?
No, it's for girls.
Whatever the fuck. I'm just talking to you about straight up fresh cotton.
Yeah, hot looking
underwear. This material keeps your nutsacks dry. There's no moisture. I mean, I can't tell you enough how good the MeUndie product is. But don't take it from me. Today I wore the MeUndie t-shirt to jiu-jitsu. I have MeUndies on right fucking now. Only
what color?
Black.
Oh, shit.
Yesterday I wore the fucking Swahili ones. Or if you go in the Marine.
Swahili ones?
What are the ones if you're a Marine?
Camouflage.
Camouflage. That's right. But don't take it from me, all right? Go right to MeUndies.com. Pick some underwear. You know what they're doing right now?
What are they
doing? They're giving you 20% off and free shipping.
Oh, right? Snap.
Boom. In Canada, United States. Go to MeUndies.com and press in.
Joey.
Oh, shit. And get 20% off your first order plus free shipping on MeUndies.com. You're going to love them. I'm telling you right now, you're going to fucking
love them. How could you not love them?
That's right.
There's nothing worse than sweaty balls.
Namaste, motherfuckers. We're talking about healthy snacks. It all starts with NatureBox.com. Nutritionalist approved. Oh, my God. They got those Hawaiian plantains and the cocoa almonds. The list goes on and on. The sesame. I mean, it just never changes. But guess what? I'm giving you a fucking starter box for free. Three small bags and one big fucking bag to get your party started this weekend. If you order today, right now, you'll probably get it shipped to your house by next week. Next week, you'll be fucking eating Nature Box till the health is flying out of your asshole. You understand me? That's how we do it. Don't take it from me. I'm not looking for nothing. I'm not looking for no fucking dough from you. What I'm looking for, get your free fucking sample box right now. It's going to cost you $1.97, something like that for shipping. But who gives you a fuck? You're getting $30 worth of free snacks delivered right to your house. NatureBox.com. Nutritionist approved. They're on the money. You don't have to go to your fucking snack thing and eat potato chips or barbecue and that fucking formaldehyde. Do what I tell you. You know how Uncle Joey loves you, right? Onnit.com, IronDragonTV.com,
PrestonJoey,
MeUndies.com, and NatureBox, PrestonJoey, and get what?
Free sample box.
Sent right to your fucking house. No drama, right? So Onnit, IronDragonTV.com, MeUndies.com, and NatureBox.com. Bam, that's how we do it. What'd you think of that, motherfucker?
That was crazy.
The fourth, I'm at Ventura. The following week, I'm in San Diego, the American Comedy Company. That's how we do it. Thank you for ending a great week with us. We'll be back tonight with Eddie Bravo. I don't know, about 8:30. You're not doing nothing. Stay up. We're just going to talk about EBI and the people who are there, and it'll be a fast, loving podcast, all right? I love you guys. Stay black. Have a great weekend. Oh, thank you very much for watching This Is Not Happening. It meant the world to me. I don't know what the numbers are, but I want the show to come back for Ari. Thank you very much from the bottom of my heart. Have a great weekend.
Now that the show's over, don't forget to go to naturebox.com and sign up to get your free sampler box of great-tasting, healthy snacks. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with delicious treats like barbecue kettle kernels. Go to naturebox.com/Joey. That's naturebox.com/Joey. Also, go to meundies.com/Joey, and you'll get 20% off of your first order, and they're giving you free shipping in the United States and Canada on all their great underwear, socks, t-shirts, all the great products. Go to meundies.com/Joey. Also, go to onnit.com and use code word CHURCH to get 10% off of all the great optimization products, and go to irondragontv.com and use code word Joey to get two free movies, movie rentals like martial art movies, Onnit movies, anything like that. irondragontv.com. Code Red Joey.
Malo tiempo, yo no quiero que me traigan desatino en mi soledad. Ángel divino, yo no quiero en mi camino la fatalidad. Cuando veo el cielo que se está nublando, cuando veo el cielo que se está nublando, agua que va a caer,
seguro te va a mojar,
agua que va a caer,
seguro te va a caer,
agua que va a caer,
el agua te va a mojar,
agua que va a caer,
si no tienes agua te va a mojar,
agua que va a caer,
seguro.